Good morning. This morning I'll be reading from Psalm 100. Psalm 100. I will sing of your love and justice to you, O Lord. I will sing praise. I will be careful to lead a blameless life. When will you come to me? I will walk in my house with blameless heart. I will set before my eyes no vile thing. The deeds of faithless men I hate. They will not cling to me. Men of perverse heart shall be far from me. I will have nothing to do with evil. Whoever slanders his neighbor in secret, him will I put to silence. Whoever has naughty eyes and a proud heart, him I will not endure. My eyes will be on a faithful in the land, that they may dwell with me. He who walk in blameless is blameless will minister to me. No one who practices deceit will dwell in my house. No one who speaks falsely will stand in my presence. Every morning I will put to silence all the wicked in the land. I will cut off every evildoer from the city of the Lord. Shout for the Lord. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who has made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations.
Well, good morning, church family. I sure wish I was seeing you face to face, but as a good friend of mine pointed out, I am so thankful for live streaming. And so, really, we can worship anywhere. We can worship here, and we can worship at our homes. So let's join together as we sing, "Here I Am to Worship."
Open my eyes, let me see. Beautiful. Father, yes, we'll never know how much it cost to see our sin upon that cross. Thank you, Lord, for giving your life for our life. We thank you, Lord, for this time we have before us this morning to stop and just stop thinking about all the things that we've been going on in our lives this week or been worrying us or bothering us. But, Lord, to put them all out of our minds and focus directly and only on you. Help us, Lord, to worship together as a body in Christ, not only in our church, but across our country and across our world. Unite us, Lord, around what you have done for us. Thank you, Lord. We look forward to what you're going to do this morning. Amen.
As I was looking at the title of this next song, I went, 10,000, that's a really big number. But really, it's not a really big number. When we think of 10,000 reasons to bless the Lord, we're thinking, how can we think of 10,000 reasons? But I was doing a little math, and I discovered that in 3 years, if we think of 10,000 reasons to bless the Lord each day, or just us, 10 reasons to bless the Lord each day, in 3 years, we'll have over 10,000 reasons. So I challenge you this week to look for 10 reasons to bless the Lord each day.
Like never before, oh my soul.
reasons to bless the Lord. Here's four more. He is the maker, the way maker, even when we think there's no way. He's a miracle worker. He keeps his promise, and he is a light whenever we feel like we're in the dark.
You are a way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper. Let's go to the Lord in prayer together. Lord, we praise you for this day. We praise you for who you are. We praise you that you are the way maker. We praise you that when there was no way for us, when we were caught in our sin, when we were condemned in our sin, we praise you that you made a way. We praise you that you came to this earth, you walked among us, and you went to the cross. And Lord, it's because of that that we lift up the name of Jesus, that we lift up your name. Lord, as we gather before you together this morning, as I know we're not in person, but we're together in our hearts, we're together in our spirits. Lord, I pray that our eyes would be focused on you. Pray that we would look to lift you up this morning. We come before you with many prayer requests, Lord. We first and foremost want to pray for those this week who have tested positive. We pray for those who aren't feeling good. Lord, we know that as this coronavirus is sweeping across the nation, Lord, it's sweeping across this county. It's sweeping across many people from our church. Lord, we pray that you would protect, that you would be the one to keep people safe and healthy, that you would prevent the spread, that those who are suffering with it, that you would give them relief, that you would give them, just give their bodies strength to overcome it. Lord, we do specifically think of Pastor Sky this morning, and we know that he hasn't been feeling good, and we know that yesterday the test did come back positive for coronavirus. Lord, I pray that you would be with him. I pray that you would give him strength, that you would help him to just get better, Lord. We pray that you would heal him. We thank you so much for him, for all that he does for her, for our church. And Lord, we pray for the family as well. Lord, we pray for Beth and the girls. We pray that you would keep them safe, that you would help them to not get any of it, Lord. We just pray that you would protect them. We pray also for some of these other requests that are brought before us today. Lord, we do pray for Dave and Patty Mason for military evangelism. Lord, we know that they're going to be just having an opportunity to work with some soldiers, to meet with some soldiers even today, Lord, as they just really have an opportunity to celebrate Thanksgiving and to talk about what Thanksgiving is truly about. I pray that you would just give them strength, you'd give them the words to say, that you would give them wisdom. We praise you for Mike and Magdy McGowan, their baby, Lord, and Mike and Bev's grandson. We praise you for a successful birth. We praise you that the baby is healthy. We just pray that you would continue to just bless the family, Lord. Bless Mike and Magdy as they're going to be with this trial now, Lord. I know that there's still a long road ahead of them, and I pray that you would be the one to just protect everyone, that you'd protect the baby, that you'd protect Magdy. We pray for Bill Fox, Lord. We know that he was in the hospital this week. We know that the doctor looked at him, and the doctor sent him home saying that there's nothing he was going to do right now, but it's something that they're going to keep an eye on going forward. Lord, we just pray that you would be with him. I pray also for his wife, Kay. She was in the ER last night with fluid, and she was supposed to be released last night. Lord, we just pray that you would be with her, that you would help her physically, that you would just bless her body. Lord, we pray for Nate Tilmes. Lord, we know he had a successful surgery this past week. Lord, we just praise you that everything did go well. But Lord, we just pray for him in the recovery stages. We pray that the surgery would be successful, that when they go back and start doing tests, we pray that everything would be successful. And we just pray for him as he recovers. And we pray for the whole Tilmes family, Lord. I know it's been a difficult road for them. Lord, I just pray that you would bless them, that you would give them an extra measure of your strength this morning. We pray for Glenn Smith, Lord. We do know that he did have a stroke, Lord. We just pray for him as he overcomes it, as he gets better, Lord. We do praise you that you've just blessed him with the life he's had. We praise you that you've continued to help him improve. Lord, we just pray that that would continue. We praise you that he would just continue to get stronger. We do pray for Donna Guth, Ron's mother, Lord. We just pray for her as she's receiving treatment for this cancer. Lord, we pray also for Chris Jardim's dad, Joe. Lord, as he's receiving treatment for cancer as well, Lord, we just pray that you would work in both of these lives, Lord, in both these situations. We pray that you'd be with both families, Lord. We just pray that you would be with both the Guth family and the Jardim family this morning. We pray for We praise you for Mike McGowan's procedure going well. We just pray that as he continues to get test results back, that everything would come back positive. And Lord, we do have a special praise this morning. Lord, I praise you for Jeanette Harrington, the great news that she received this week. Lord, just after all the tests that they've run, Lord, and the doctor said that they don't really see any cancer left. Lord, we just praise you for that. Lord, we know it's been such a long road for her and for the whole family. But Lord, you are faithful, and you were faithful in her life. You were faithful just with everything she's been going through. Lord, we just praise you so much for that. And Lord, we do know that the road is not over for her. She still has a lot more things she has to do, a lot more treatment she's got to do. Lord, we just pray that you would continue to give her strength as she moves forward, that you continue to give the family strength as they move forward. We just praise you for all that you've done in her life, and just pray that you would continue to just do great things in her life. Lord, we do just pray for Ed Townsend, Lord. I know he was in the hospital yesterday for pneumonia. Lord, I just pray that you would heal his body, that you would give him strength, that you would just help him to be able to overcome this pneumonia, help the doctors as they treat him. Lord, we do especially want to pray for the whole Townsend family. Lord, I know that they were supposed to be moving to Florida this week, and I know that with everything that happened with Ed, Lord, that that's going to it may alter their plans. Lord, we just pray that you'd give them wisdom, help them to be able to know what to do and how to do it. Lord, I just pray that you would work out the plans according to your will and not anyone else's will. Lord, we do continue to pray for Cumberland Christian School. Lord, I just pray that you would bless their school. We know that they're really going through a hard time right now, Lord. Financially, they're really taking a hit. Lord, I pray that you would provide for that school. We pray that you'd be able to keep this school open, Lord. We don't want to see any Christian school closed, Lord, any school that's about your gospel. We don't want to see them get hurt, Lord. And I just pray that you would be the one to uphold their school. We do just pray for the country, Lord. As we enter this holiday season, we have Thanksgiving this week, and then Christmas is right around the corner, Lord. We know that our country is scared. We know that our country doesn't know what to do, Lord. Our country is looking for guidance, looking for leadership. Lord, I do pray for our leaders. I pray that you would give them wisdom, that you would help them to know what to do, that you'd help them to know what people to trust, what experts to listen to, Lord, as they just take into advisement what to do for the nation. We just pray that you would be with them, give them wisdom. Lord, we pray for our local leadership. Lord, we pray for Governor Murphy and those in New Jersey in government. And Lord, we do pray specifically for those in Salem County. Lord, we just pray that you would give them wisdom to know what to do. Lord, we do just pray again for leadership for our church, Lord, that you'd give us wisdom to know what to do and how to move forward and what the future plans will hold. Lord, through it all, we know that we can trust you. We know that you are the one who's faithful, that you're the one who's good. We pray that our eyes would be focused on you this morning and not on anything else that is in this world. We pray that you would receive the honor and glory. We pray all these things in your name. Amen. I did want to go over some announcements with you guys, just jumping straight into it. I did mention this during the prayer, but we have had multiple positive cases this past week of COVID. That's why we're doing a streaming-only service this morning. We wanted to announce that we will be canceling all activities this week and doing a stream service next week as well. After that, we're hoping to be able to get back in as soon as possible, but we're kind of monitoring things going forward. What that looks like for this week, though, is we will be having a Thanksgiving Eve service. It'll be at our normal time on Thanksgiving Eve, and it'll be a stream service. So we're going to be doing some songs. We're going to be having a message. And one of the things that we really want to do during the service is we really want to take time and thank God. So what we're going to do is I'm asking that you guys all send me emails of things that you guys are thankful for. You can send it to my email address. It's pastorj@quintonbaptist.com. And if you guys send me emails of things you are thankful for, we're going to take time during the service and we're going to read them. And the point of us doing that is that we want to remind each other that this is a community, that we're all in this together. We're hoping that the reading things that people are thankful for is really going to be an encouragement to everyone else who is listening. So I would ask you guys, even this morning, my email is not connected to my phone. It's not going to go off during the service. Shoot me an email right now. I will check it after the service. I would love to have emails from you guys saying things you guys are thankful for. And we're going to be taking time on Wednesday to celebrate what we do have to be thankful for this year. Looking forward, we do have everything else is kind of up in flux at this point in time. We're hoping to have the Christmas adult dinner on December 12th. We are continuing to monitor the situation, but our goal is to have it. We'd encourage you guys to be involved in that. It's a fellowship time. I just said dinner. It's not going to be a dinner. It's going to be appetizer and a dessert. So we're hoping to have that on December 12th. The other thing that I did want to announce, and this is some of the good news that we have, Operation Christmas Child, we were able to deliver all the boxes this week. We prayed for them last week. I want to announce that there were 386 boxes, and that's a fantastic thing that we were able to have delivered this week. So I'm really excited about that. That's 386 children throughout the world that we were able to impact through this gift, and we really wanted to just say thank you to all of you guys for all of your work and having all of that come in. We do also want to say a special thank you to the Finney family. We had the Finney family deliver it themselves so that there'd be no multiple families involved in order to prevent any spread of anything. So we just had the Finney, so we want to say thank you specifically to the Finney family for that. I did also want to announce just a congratulations to Mike and Bev for being grandparents again as Mike and Magdy had their boy this week. We thank the Lord for the boy's safety, for his health. He was born on November 18th. He was 3 pounds and 11 ounces and 18 inches long. He is a month early, so we do ask that you continue to pray for the family, continue to pray for him. But we did just want to say congratulations for that. I did also announce this during the prayer, but Jeanette Harrington heard some great news from the doctors that everything really came back completely negative, and she is really healthy and she's not out of the woods yet, but it's a great step forward. So we did want to say a special congratulations, and we're so happy for you, Jeanette. We do have an announcement also in this bulletin that I wanted to just read over. It's at the Missions Committee. We've decided not to do the Christmas card box this year due to COVID. We don't want anything to be spread, so we're not doing the traditional Christmas card box that we have every year. We'd encourage you guys to still mail out cards, to still continue to encourage each other this holiday season. You have the church directory that has everyone's addresses in it. Originally, the plan was that the money that was donated during this time was going to go to support two different people, the Kites and Bridgeton Christian School. We'd ask if you guys are still interested in giving to that. You can mark envelopes that you send into the church, either Kites Christmas card or Bridgeton Christian School Christmas card. With that, we're going to pray for the offering now. I do want to remember or remind you guys that you guys can pay for the offering online. You can give online, or you can mail in checks to the church. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness to our church. We thank you that you are still good. We thank you that we were able to have this great Operation Christmas Child year, that we were able to collect all of these 386 boxes, Lord. We just praise you for that. Lord, we pray that as we have our offering now, as we just continue on with the service, we pray that we'd be able to lift you up, that we'd be able to make your name known. We pray that our eyes would be focused on you. We pray all these things in your name. Amen.
I once heard the definition for worship, and it is acknowledging the worth-ship of God, W-O-R-T-H. Acknowledging the worship of God, the worth-ship of Jesus, and the name of Jesus is definitely worthy to be praised.
You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Lamb of God, worthy is your rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my
Well, I know that many of you guys are at home, and at home it's very tempting to sit on the couch and listen and not open your Bibles, but I would encourage you to get your Bibles if you don't have it at this point in time. We're going to be opening up our Bibles and getting into God's Word, and I do want you guys to be able to read the Bible with me and read along, so I'd encourage you to grab a Bible. Let's open up in a word of prayer. Lord, we praise you for today. We pray that as we open up your word right now, Lord, as we listen to what you have to say, we pray that you would speak to us. We pray that you would touch lives, that you would impact each and every single one of us with what's said this morning. We pray all these things in your name. Amen. Am I on now? All right, we good?
Let's go. Something you guys may know about me at this point in time, it should be pretty obvious. The more you spend time with me, the more it becomes apparent, is that I love music. I play the guitar, I play the drums, I love listening to music. There's almost always a song playing in my head almost at any given time. And I personally believe in the power of music. I believe that music has the power to change someone's day. You can be having a terrible day and you listen to the right song at the right time and it can change your entire day. I believe that music is powerful, and you know, scientists have actually done some study into this. They've found that listening to music can actually improve your emotional health. And in some cases, scientists are saying that they can improve your physical health. Music has that type of power. Well, today we're going to be looking at music doing something a little bit different than what we're used to. Today we're going to be looking at music defeating an entire army. And we ask, how can music defeat an entire army? And the answer is simple. If that music is praise and worship to God, then it can. We're going to be in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 this morning. We're going through our series on our odd Old Testament stories. And this story is about a man named Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat was king over Judah. And we know from the previous chapters that he was a man who loved God. However, he was not perfect. He made some mistakes along the way. And as we pick up here in chapter 20, we're going to see that the enemy decides to expose a weakness of his and to attack. In verse 1, we see that three armies get put together, the Moabite army, the Ammonite army, and the Mennonite army. And the Mennonites are later talked about as people from Mount Seir. Throughout the rest of the story, they're going to be described as people from Mount Seir. But these three armies get together, and they attack Judah. And they attack Jerusalem. So what does Jehoshaphat do when the enemy is at the door? That's what we're going to be looking at today. He does three things, and we're going to look at the three things he does when the enemy is at the door. The first thing he does is he goes to God in faith. This is what happens. I'm going to read it starting in verse 3. It says, "Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. Then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord and in front of the new courtyard and said, 'O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand. No one can withstand you. O our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before the people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They have lived in it and have built in it a sanctuary to your name, saying, if calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, and we stand before your presence, before this temple that bears your name, and will cry out to you in our distress, will you not hear us? Or will you hear us and save us? But now, here are men from Amid, Moab, and Mount Seir, whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade when they came from Egypt. So they turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how they are repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possession you gave us as an inheritance? O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you.' And all the men of Judah with their wives and children and little ones stood there before the Lord." So the very first thing that Jehoshaphat does when he has the enemy at the door, he starts by saying, "We need to go to God." He declares a fast throughout the entire land. He has everyone from all Judah gather together. It says that people came from every town in Judah. And it wasn't just the men. Verse 13 says it was their wives, it was their children, it was their little one. Everyone gathered together in Jerusalem, and they all went before the temple of the Lord. Now, this temple would have been Solomon's temple. And when Solomon first built this temple back in 2 Chronicles chapter 6 and 7, he has a prayer to the Lord, and he says, "Lord, if we go through calamity, if we go through distress, if we have enemies at the door, if we have a plague sweeping through our nation, if we gather before you in this sanctuary to pray to you, please hear us and please save us." That was Solomon's prayer when he built the temple. It says, "Lord, if we gather before you here, please save us." And that is what Jehoshaphat does, is he gathers everyone together and he prays to God. But I want to highlight specifically what he ends the prayer with. He ends the prayer with, "For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you." That's how Jehoshaphat ends his prayer. He says, "Listen, we can't do anything left. This army is too great. They will destroy us with ease. We don't know what to do." But when he doesn't know what to do, he knows who to turn to, and that's God. The first question that I want to ask us is, do we know who to turn to when things go wrong? You know, we live in a culture that tells us that when we go through difficult times, when we go through hardships, we have to look to ourselves. We have to dig deep. We have to look for the light within. We have to believe in ourselves. You know, we watch movies with action heroes or superheroes, and it's all about them believing in themselves to overcome their problem. We pay attention to the news. We watch leaders, whether they're athletes or actors or political leaders. We watch them look out for themselves, look out for number one, lift themselves up, make themselves great. And then we go to bookstores, and you know, shelves and shelves at the bookstores now are all self-help books. They're all books on how we can help ourselves when we have problems. But you know, that's not what Jehoshaphat does when he has a problem. He doesn't look to himself. He doesn't look to his own strength. Instead, he looks to God. And you know, if we're honest, we can only look to ourselves for so long before we realize our own limitations, our own weaknesses. You know, you can believe in yourself all you want, but when a hurricane hits your town and destroys houses, there's nothing a human being can do about it. when wildfires tear their way through entire states like happened this year and burn everything down, there's nothing we as humans can do about it. When a virus sweeps through the entire world, there's nothing we as humans can do about it. We are weak. We are limited. Just like Jehoshaphat here, he knew he was weak. He knew he couldn't overcome it, but he turned to God. You know, my daughter Dakota, she turns 2 this week. She turns 2 on Tuesday. I'm excited for that. And she's at the point in her life where she's trying to get independent. She's trying to do things herself. But when she tries to do something and she can't do it, she realizes she's not strong enough or isn't able to do it. She turns and she says 2 words that I personally love to hear. She says, "Daddy, help." And I love those words. I love being asked for help. I wonder how often God loves being asked for help. And I wonder how often we ask for help. I wonder how often we say, "God, I need help. Daddy, help." That's what Jehoshaphat does here. He starts by going to God and saying, "I need help." The second thing that Jehoshaphat does is he has faith in God's word. Immediately after Jehoshaphat puts forth this prayer, God responds. He speaks through a prophet named Jahaziel. And this is what he says, starting in verse 15. He said, "Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march out against them. They will be climbing up by the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeriel. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your position, stand firm, and see the deliverance of the Lord will give you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you." So God sends a message to Jehoshaphat. He says, "Listen, I want you to take your army. I want you to go march out against them." Now, quite practically, from a military standpoint, this is foolish. The smart thing to do when an army is attacking Jerusalem is for them to all get inside the walls of Jerusalem. Jerusalem was actually on a hill, so they had the high ground. And to take up a defensive position. That's the smart military strategy here. But that's not the strategy God goes with. He says, "I want you to take your men. I want you to go out and march against them. I want you to go have them all take their stand." And then God tells them this. He says, "When you go out and take your stand, you will not have to fight the battle. I'll take care of it." But you know, God could have said, "Just stay where you are. I'll take care of it." And that's not what he does. He tells them to go out and expose their army to getting annihilated, to take that stand. And he says, "I'll do the rest." So what does Jehoshaphat do? He doesn't even question it. He doesn't even go against it in any way, shape, or form. In verse 20, he takes the men and he does it. He says, "Early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa, and as they sent out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, 'Listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful.'" He says, "Listen, guys, have faith in God, and it will all work out." He doesn't doubt it. He doesn't question it. He takes the word of the Lord, and he believes in it. Now, there are 2 things that he does about the word of the Lord that's very important for us today, because we have the word of the Lord as well. We don't have prophets speaking to us, but we have the Bible. The Bible is our word of the Lord. It's how we look to God today. But he does 2 things. The first thing he does is he knows the word of the Lord. Back in verse 9, he actually specifically referenced something that already happened with King Solomon. He knew what had happened in the past. He knew God's word. He recognized when a prophet was speaking. He knew what God's word was. Do we know what God's word is? In our youth group that we've been going through, we started a new series in youth group just a few weeks ago on studying the Bible and knowing the Bible better. And I started out that entire series by making a deal with the teenagers. And I said this, I said, "Listen, if anyone here tell me the books of the Bible in order, I will hand you $5. And that deal I put out there, and it's still the deal that's out there. I said, till the end of the series, we have 3 more weeks left in the series. I said, if you tell me the books of the Bible before the end of the series, I will hand you $5. Now, I don't have the money to do that with the entire church. It's not a deal I can make with you guys. I'm sorry about that. I don't have that type of money. But the reason I made that deal is because I care that our teenagers study God's Word, even something as simple as knowing all the books of the Bible in order. And I'm willing to put my money on the line for that because I think that it's that important. I believe that studying the Bible is that important. R.A. Torrey, who's a man who was a close friend of D.L. Moody's, he actually wrote this in a biography he wrote about D.L. Moody. He makes this statement. He says, 99 Christians in every 100 are merely playing at Bible study. And therefore, 99 Christians out of every 100 are mere weaklings when they might be giants, both in their Christian life and in their service. He says, listen, the vast number of Christians, they're just playing around with the Word of God. And because of that, they're weak when they might be giants. How do we know God's Word? But he didn't just know God's Word. Jehoshaphat didn't just know God's Word in this story. He trusted in God's Word. He trusted that when God said something, it was going to happen. It was going to be true. He trusted enough that he took his army out to march out against an army that was far superior to his. Do we trust God's Word like that? When God's Word seems to contradict what we're hearing around us, what we're hearing in school, what we're hearing at work, what we're hearing from the experts that are out there. Do we trust the Bible first? Do we trust the Bible against what we're hearing from our friends, what we're hearing from our family members? Do we trust the Bible first? And here's the hard one. Do we trust the Bible when it seems to disagree with what we want, what we think, what we feel? Because unfortunately, I think that many of us don't. We put our own thoughts, our own feelings first, and we trust that before anything else. Well, the fact of the matter is our feelings can change, our thoughts can change. We all know this. My thoughts today are not the same thoughts as I had last year. But the Word of God does not change. The Word of God can be trusted even above our own thoughts, our own feelings. That's difficult to say, but it's true. And we have to hold on to that first. We have to trust God's Word first. So those are the first two things that Jehoshaphat did. He went to God, and then he had faith in what God had to say. He had faith in God's Word. And that brings us to the third thing. And this is the thing that really blew me away about this entire story, is the third thing that Jehoshaphat did is he worshiped God. He worshiped God even before the battle was over. He worshiped God first. His faith resulted in worship. I want to start reading in verse 18. I'm going to read a little bit of a longer segment here, but I want you guys to pay attention to the focus on worship through the rest of this passage. Starting in verse 18, this happens right after the prophet of the Lord spoke. In verse 18, it says, Jehoshaphat bowed with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down and in worship before the Lord. Then some of the Levites from the Kohathites and Korathites stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. Early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa, and as they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem, have faith in the Lord and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets and you will be successful. After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. And as they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. The men of Ammon and Moab rose up against the men of Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. After they finished slaughtering the men from Mount Seir, they helped to destroy one another. When the men of Judah came to the place that overlooked the desert and looked towards the vast army, they saw only dead bodies lying on the ground. No one had escaped. So Jehoshaphat and his men went to carry off their plunder, and they found among them a great amount of equipment and clothing and also articles of value, more than they could take away. There was so much plunder that it took 3 days to collect it. On the fourth day, they assembled in the Valley of Berakah. There they praised the Lord. This is why it's called the Valley of Berakah to this day. Then, led by Jehoshaphat, all the men of Judah and Jerusalem returned joyfully to Jerusalem. For the Lord had given them cause to rejoice over their enemies, and they entered Jerusalem and went to the temple of the Lord with harps and lutes and trumpets. Wow. Jehoshaphat, throughout the rest of this story, is all about praising God. As soon as the prophet speaks, the first thing he does is he gets down on the ground and bows before the Lord. Now, again, this happened in the sight of all the people of Jerusalem and their wives and their children. Everyone was there watching their king bow down before God. And then it says everyone joined in. Everyone bowed down. They called in some Levites to sing and to praise God. And then the next morning came and they took out their army. And Jehoshaphat marched out an army. And he appointed people to be the front people in the army, the leaders of the army. But those people weren't the generals. They weren't anyone special. They were singers. They were people sent out to praise God. And they led the people saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever." That's a very common phrase throughout the Bible. It's used throughout the Psalms. It's used in Psalm 106, 107, 118, 136. And by the way, 136 we're going to be focusing on this Wednesday. That's our theme passage for the Thanksgiving Eve service this Wednesday. So I'm really looking forward to getting into that even more. But these people came out and they led the army and they led with singing. And then verse 22 happens. And verse 22 is one of my favorite verses of this entire thing. It says, "As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the enemy." God could have started the night before. He could have started annihilating the army prior to it. But he waited until they began to sing and to praise him. God gave them deliverance when they started singing. And as they went out, and they didn't even know it because they hadn't even seen it yet, as they went out singing and praising, God had the armies wipe each other out. And then it says that by the time they caught up to them, as by the time they faced the army, all they saw was dead bodies. And they went out to plunder them. And God didn't just, you know, protect them from the army. God gave them plunder. God gave them enough plunder that it took 3 days to collect it all. That's how much God gave them in the middle of all of this. And then it gets to after they're done plundering the army for 3 days, on the fourth day, they go down to the Valley of Berakah, which the word Berakah means to praise. And it actually gets named, the Valley of Berakah gets named it because this is what they do. They go down to the valley and praise the Lord. And then they return to Jerusalem. They return to the Temple of Solomon, which is where they started the story. But this time they're returning joyfully. This time they're returning with instruments. They got the harps, they got the lutes, they got the trumpets. They are there to worship God. Guys, Jehoshaphat turned this entire battle into one big worship service, one big time of worshiping God. He worshiped God before the battle. He worshiped God during the battle. And he worshiped God after the battle. It was all about worshiping God. What does our worship look like? Do we worship God the way that Jehoshaphat just did? Is that something that we do on a regular basis? What does our worship life look like? Worship is not a spectator sport. I think a lot of times our worship time here at church, some people are very tempted to just sit back and watch. And that's not what worship is about. Worship is not watching. Worship is involving. Worship is being involved in what is happening. We can worship in many different ways. One of the most common ways is to sing, and that's what we do here every Sunday morning. We sing praises to God. We have our praise band. We have Jeanette. We love to praise God. And we do that by lifting up our voices, lifting up our instruments to him. But you know, that's not the only way that we can worship. We also worship in our prayers. When we go to God in prayer, when we thank him for what he's done, when we thank him for who he is, when we lift him up in our own prayer life, we are worshiping God. Does our prayer life look like that? Or is our prayer life a list of requests? Which, don't get me wrong, it is important to have prayer requests. It is important to pray about things. But we also should be spending time in our prayers worshiping God. And you know, worship is beyond even prayers. It's the way we live our life. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says this, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual service of worship." Our ability to offer our bodies to God, to offer our lives to God, is what he calls a spiritual service of worship. The way we live our lives is worship to God. When we point people to him, when we point people to how great he is, when we lift him up in the way we live our lives, in the conversations that we have, that is worship to God. What I love about this passage is that Jehoshaphat's worship is based on his faith in God and not on the circumstances around him. Jehoshaphat started worshiping when there was enemies at the door ready to destroy all of his people. He started worshiping when he didn't know what the outcome was going to be, but he worshiped not because of his circumstances, but because of his faith in God. His worship was based on who God was and not on what he was going through, not on what he was dealing with. And I think that's important for us to remember today, because so often I've heard people say, "I just don't feel like worshiping today. I don't feel like I can. There's so many things happening in my life that I can't worship today." And you know, my simple statement to that is worship is not based on what we're going through. Worship is based on who God is. Worship is based on our faith in God, first and foremost. That no matter what we're going through in life, God is still someone that we should worship. Mark Hall wrote a song, "Praise You in the Storm," and I was watching an interview of him about the song, and this is his statement. He says, "Jesus is great no matter what happens. Jesus is with you no matter what happens. And Jesus is worthy of your worship no matter what happens." I want to end with a story about a man named Matt Redman. He's a songwriter, a very common Christian songwriter. He's written a lot of great Christian worship songs. But Matt Redman wrote one particular song, and he wrote that song in 2001. He wrote that song a few weeks after the tragedy of 9/11. When people suffered, we as a nation suffered. Matt Redman said, "I started traveling around in the weeks following 9/11. And he said, "I went to these different churches and I realized that churches didn't know how to handle this. Churches didn't know how to handle the grief. They didn't know how to handle the loss. They didn't know how to handle the confusion." And he said, "We didn't have any worship songs that helped you deal with something like this." So Matt Redman and his wife sat down and they wrote a song. And that song is called "Blessed Be Your Name." It's a song we're going to end this service with today. And in that song, Matt Redman says, "God's name needs to be blessed no matter what we're going through." These are the lyrics of the song. It says, "Blessed be your name, the land that is plentiful, where streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place. Though I walk through the wilderness, blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it could be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name." Matt Redman said his point to writing that song is to remind us that worshiping God is not about our circumstances. As we end this service, that's where I want to ask you guys, what is our worship with God like? When Jehoshaphat had enemies at the door, he first sought the Lord, he then listened to the Lord, and then he had faith that resulted in worship to the Lord. Jehoshaphat was a man of worship. Are we people of worship before the Lord? Let's close in prayer. Lord, we praise you for who you are. We praise you for what you've done for us. We praise you for your word. And we praise you that none of those things are dependent on what we're going through today. We praise you that no matter what we face, no matter what difficulties we're going through, we can still worship you. Lord, we can still say, "Blessed be your name. Pray all these things in your name. Amen.
Well, you at home, let's actively involve ourselves in worship. I encourage you to stand up and sing and clap your hands as we bless his name.
I do want to remind all of you guys that this Wednesday night we will be having a Thanksgiving Eve service. We're really hoping it's an uplifting time. We're really hoping that's a time to remember all the great things that God has done for us this year and to say thank you. That'll be a stream service this Wednesday night. We'd encourage you all to tune in for that. As we close in prayer, I'm just going to pray the chorus of that song. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Lord, we pray that you would be blessed. We pray that you would be lifted up. Pray all these things in your name. Amen.